Well, we welcome you to this month's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We do this the first Thursday of the month. Here we are into March already. Today, we're going to talk about physical therapy in the departments of physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology at Newport Hospital's Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center. We have visited with several of the therapists numerous times over the years here on the Hour of Health. And today, we're going right to the top. With us today is the Director, Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation for Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Merriam Hospital, Missy Fournier. Missy, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You really are a key, and your team is such a key in getting us on the road, and sometimes literally it's on the road, back from a lot of types of things. We think about, breaking things and having to go to rehab, but there are so many other circumstances that require rehab. Tell us about a few.
Sure. We see a wide variety of patients, the diagnoses at Vanderbilt Rehab. I would say the largest group of people that we see are stroke patients, patients who've had either a bleed or a clot in their brain. That's about a third of our patients. We see spinal cord injury patients, both traumatic from an accident or a fall, non-traumatic. We see brain injury patients, traumatic also, and non-traumatic, tumors, those sorts of things. So usually pretty life-changing things that have happened to people. We do see, a smaller group of patients with other things like multiple trauma patients, car accidents, motorcycle accidents, long falls, those sorts of things. We see cardiac illness, pulmonary illness, amputations, patients with burns, severe burns, all over their body. So, yeah, and then just long medical illnesses that have really debilitated patients.
Sure.
Do
you find, Missy, that in recent years that you're finding more of your patients are those who have dealt with age-related type things? You mentioned stroke and those types of things. There are people that have to come to you after having a replacement surgery, hip or knee or something like that. Do you find that is increased in your percentage of patients over the past few years?
We certainly see more age-related disease. Things like hip replacements and knee replacements, however, even though we're doing more and more of those with all, the baby boomers is such a large group, but the surgery is so much better than it used to be, and the rehab is much shorter than it used to be. So those patients generally don't need the level of care that we provide at a Vanderbilt Rehab Center. They have to have a little bit more going on to qualify for that level of rehab because they get better faster.
That's good to know. I guess we put in a plug for the hip and knee replacement crowd.
Absolutely. It's amazing what they can do. People go home the same day now.
It's amazing. Yeah, we've had them on very, very recently. So there we go. We put in a plug for that team in the midst of our physical rehabilitation chat here with the Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center here in this month's Hour of Health. So what led you down the path of becoming a physical therapist?
Well, my brother, when I was a young kid, I was probably in middle school, and my brother developed Bell's palsy, which is a facial nerve inflammation. They don't really know why it happens, but it looks like you've had a stroke. Your face is paralyzed on one side, which was pretty scary. But his doctor prescribed physical therapy. And, I had to go along with my mom or my dad to his appointments usually. So as I was sitting there bored to death, I was watching what was going on in the PT gym and watching what they were doing with my brother. He had some home exercises and I was in charge of making sure he did them. I really enjoyed it. And, in high school, they give you one of those aptitude tests to see what you'd be good at. Coincidentally, physical occupational speech therapy came up on my list.
Wow.
So I went back and did some observation at the hospital in high school and decided, I think I want to be a PT. And that's how I got there.
Amazing. Was that in Newport?
Actually, no, I grew up in Maine.
In Maine? Whereabouts in Maine?
Auburn, the town of Auburn.
You bet. I did some work there and there's Gifford's ice cream there. So.
Oh, Gifford's, yes. Beautiful thing.
You bet. Missy Fournier, Director of Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation at Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, Merriam Hospital, Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center. So do you find then, because you kind of jumped into this at a very early age with your brother and so forth, that you tend to gravitate towards people that come in with those issues? Or what would you say is the thing that you love most about being in your job?
Well, as a treating therapist, I treated for about 15 years, the first 15 years of my career. I love the connection that we get to make with families, especially on some place like Vanderbilt Rehab. They're here for a couple of weeks with us, and we really get to know people. They get to know us. You know, we have a lot of time to talk while they're resting between activities. We like to, you know, I love to learn what motivates them. You know, how do I motivate this person to do what they're going to need to do? Sometimes they don't want to. They've had a brain injury. They're confused. You have to kind of find what makes them tick and what motivates them. We earn their trust, and then they can do what we need to do to get them better. And we have to do the same with the families. You know, we have to connect with the families as well, have them trust us, train them to what they're going to have to do. But in particular, I love brain injury patients. I love those patients that, you know, that it was devastating, but, you know, you saw such great progress, and you really had to be creative to motivate sometimes. That was my love. And then I went back to school. I got my master's in administration and management for healthcare at Salve. And now I've developed connections with my therapists instead, and I earn their trust and, you know, get them to do what we need to do. So it's the same sort of thing, but with a different group of people. But I love that we get to work together as a team. We innovate, we improve the quality of care all the time. We're constantly working on what can we do to be better.
Of course. It comes really from a foundation, though, and I'm hearing the foundation that you bring. And I don't know as you can teach that. I mean, the idea of just instinctively knowing that you work with the family, and at the same time, your team is your family there, or the family there at the center, and you work with them. I think that it's something that you just bring to the job. It's so great to hear this from you. I'm sure that your patients, because you're in there for the long haul with many of them, I'm sure that they develop a real family relationship. I'm sure you hear from your patients long periods of time after they've left you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, it's an amazing thing. We send them a survey when they leave to ask, you know, how was it? What can we do better? And just to hear the words that people use, I read a couple this week, and it was ultimate care and astounding. And, you know, I think trust is a word they use a lot. And it's a very different place in healthcare. It's not an emergency room where they're in and out. It's not even acute care. You know, when somebody goes in for an appendectomy or whatever it is, they're in and they're out. Things move very fast in healthcare these days. So we're lucky to have the opportunity to spend this much time with people and really get to develop those relationships. And we're a family at Vanderbilt, and the patients are included in that family.
That's a great point. You know, in this age of, we just touched on a procedure that used to take days or weeks, and now it's done in one day. And you're right, it's hit and run for sure. A hospital stay is almost unheard of, and yet you have these relationships with people. What's the average amount of time that a patient will spend with you?
The average stay is 14 days.
Yeah.
Certainly there are people that are out, you know, in 9, 10, that's usually the shorter end. But we do have people who stay, you know, months, 6, 8 weeks. It's possible. It's not as common, but it's definitely possible.
Sure. Is that down from when it used to be? I don't know how long you've been at this, but is this down in,
absolutely.
Is it a shorter time? Is it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I started well over 30 years ago doing therapy. Inpatient, and we would have, you know, I would say 2 to 3 months with a stroke patient.
That's what I, that's kind of the reputation, you know, those of us who have not had to have this and, all of that, you know, you think of that and it's like, oh my gosh, you have to be in this for weeks and months and oh my word. But how about that? 14 days is considered a long period of time. And that is really, really quite something. Well, we'll talk about how Missy's patients and her team at Newport Hospital and the Vanderbilt Rehab Center get to this point. And we'll find out about the physical therapy side of life, conditions that Vanderbilt treats, and some new innovations that are really, really quite something to hear about. And you'll hear it all ahead on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We're talking this month with Missy Fournier, Director, Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation for Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Merriam Hospital, overseeing a lot of the Newport Hospital Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center. Let's go there for a little bit, Missy, if we could. What conditions does Vanderbilt treat?
So the Vanderbilt Inpatient Rehab Unit generally treats patients with neurological injuries, strokes, brain injuries, spinal cord injuries. And also we do see patients with multiple trauma, patients who've been in motor vehicle accidents, motorcycle accidents, falls from ladders. We see patients who've had amputations on their, you know, usually a leg amputation. And, you know, just patients who've been generally ill for quite a while and have lost the ability to do the functional things they need to do every day.
So will you see people who are further along in an illness, or do you see accident trauma, or do they go somewhere else?
We don't see them initially. So to be admitted to Vanderbilt, you have to be what we call medically stable. So you've had to have your workups, you know, make sure there's no liver lacerations and they're not bleeding internally, and you know, they have to have been stabilized from whatever event has put them in the need for rehab. So once they're stable in an acute care hospital, they'll refer them to us, and then we take it from there. And they'll generally continue therapy after us as well. We're just one stop along the way of a long journey for most people.
Oh, I see. So again, I'm sure at some point this will really, really become clear, but the services and the conditions that you end up spending time with Missy and her team at Vanderbilt are available in Newport, and you don't have to leave the island. So it's, again, we usually touch on this about once per episode here in this Hour of Health series, Missy. So what can a patient expect when a patient has a stay in the Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center?
Well, as I said, they're only with us for about 2 weeks. So we have a lot of work to do in the time that they're with us. They'll wake up each day in their nice private room. We have beautiful private rooms. You know, you can see the ocean. So it's a nice, calm place to be in what's been a crazy few weeks for people. But they'll wake up. They have a schedule by their bed, and it tells them what they're going to be doing for the day. Part of the requirements in Vanderbilt, or for an inpatient rehab facility like Vanderbilt, is they have to do at least 3 hours, or tolerate at least 3 hours a day of therapy. So physical therapy, occupational therapy. Some folks need speech language pathology as well to help them with swallowing, to help them with their speech, to help them with their cognition or their thinking skills. So depending on their injury, they have some combination of the three of those for at least 3 hours, 5 days a week. They also have work to do with nurses. The physicians are coming in and working with them. We have rehab doctors or physiatrists that specialize in rehab medicine. And we also have medical doctors who are managing the medical side of what's going on with the patient. We have case managers that are helping them plan their services and appointments for after discharge, what they're going to need to do when they go home to continue their therapy. We have social work and psychology who can work with them to help adjust them to the illness that they have or the injury that's happened to them, depending on what they need. So everybody gets a little bit of a different mix of all the services that we have. The dietitians are a big part of our team as well. They're maybe having a change in their diet. They, you know, had a stroke, and now we're going to kind of put them on a low sodium, low, you know, fat diet. Mm-hmm. Or a restriction in what consistency of foods they can have. If they have swallowing problems, sometimes people can't go home and have steak. They have to have softer foods or sometimes ground up foods. So there's a lot to our teams, and we're all kind of working together with everybody every day. It's a nice coordinated you know, day for everybody for what they have to get through to make sure we get to everything.
Let me ask a real dumb question here. What's the difference between physical therapy and occupational therapy?
Well, physical therapists work, you know, sort of with the daily function. So the mobility of the patient, their ability to get out of bed, roll, sit up, stand up, walk to the chair, walk across the room, sit back down in the bathroom. So more of those sorts of things. An occupational therapy and inpatient rehab really focuses on ADLs. So on the ADLs like brushing your teeth, washing yourself up, you know, getting showered, getting dressed, but also the what we call IADLs or the things like,
Wait a second now, we're, I love this. Okay, let me learn the lingo here.
ADL,
ADL must be, it's something daily life.
Activities of daily living.
There it is. Activities of daily living. Okay, so yes. That's ADL. And what's IADL?
And I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot here. Independent activities of daily living. I don't know. It's lost out of my head.
We did need that in the form of a question, Missy.
Yes, but it's the higher level functional things that people have to do, like pay their bills, like take their medicine.
Okay, I gotcha. Sure.
Yeah. So it's sometimes people don't have to do their own IADL. Somebody does it for them. Maybe their son comes and pays their bills every month or those. But for the patients who have to go home and sometimes it's work, you know, patients come to us and then end up going back to their jobs. And so we're working on what do you have to do to be able to do your work day, and those sorts of things. So the occupational therapists are really more about the activities of daily living for patients, and the physical therapists are focused much more on, gross motor or big activities and, moving about the space.
Now I've got it. Okay. So let me ask you this now. You mentioned everybody's different, and I know each person is an individual situation, but is the goal to get someone back to where they were, or to have them understand and to get them to the place where they are going to be, which may be different from where they were?
Correct. Yep. And in 2 weeks, we probably don't know the full answer to that. We may have an idea of how things are going to work out, 3-4 months down the road for this person. But again, everybody, heals at a different pace. You don't always know the extent to what their recovery will be. So for us, our focus is really to get them to the next level of care safely. So it may be that, we're just going to work on getting you to walk, from your bed to your bathroom at home, and the home therapists are going to come in and keep working with you on getting out of your house and going back to church on Sunday and going back to, a restaurant and those sorts of things. But we may, we may have people who are progressing quickly and we're working on getting them out into the community and moving around and getting in the car and those sorts of things. So again, it's sort of different for every patient.
Yeah, no question. And that's completely understood. Do you go over that with the patient at the beginning of their stay? Do you say, well, we're going to get you here, or our goal is to get you here? Is that an important thing, or does it go day to day?
Yeah, we certainly set goals. That's a big part of what they teach us in therapist school. Every therapist is great, and the whole rehab team. We set team goals that we're going to work on together. The patient has their goals that they want to accomplish while they're with us. And then we all have our individual goals. So physical and speech and occupational therapy each have their own goals. The nurses have their own goals. So we're all kind of, we all have what we call a plan of care that we set up. And everybody has goals, and that's the plan that we're all working toward. And we make sure that we're including the patient and the family in that as well, so that hopefully everybody's on the same page as we progress through the rehabilitation.
Talking with Missy Fournier, she is the Director of Adult Inpatient Rehab at Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, Merriam Hospital, Vanderbilt Rehab Center. And there are some new innovations, new things at the Vanderbilt that we want to talk about. There's an apartment and there's a mock car. We'll talk about that just ahead on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540. Welcome back. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health, first Thursday of the month, and today we are talking physical therapy with Missy Fournier, Director, Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation for Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Merriam Hospital, and the Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center at Newport Hospital. And there are some new things at Vanderbilt Rehabilitation. A new apartment. There's an apartment. How does that work? Who gets to stay in that?
Yeah, so we have a new room. We're putting it into use starting next week, and it's a way we can help patients and also those that will care for them when they go back home to have that opportunity to practice what they've learned in rehab in a safe and supported environment before they go home. So who gets the room is generally patients who are getting ready to leave. They may be going back home and living alone, or they may be going back home and a family member will be living with them to help them out. And it's again, it's a supportive environment. So, for example, an elderly patient has had a stroke and they're going to need somebody to be with them to get them up at night to go to the bathroom, say, for example. We can move those individuals into the transitional apartment, let their spouse or their family member sleep over and practice with them, getting up in the middle of the night, getting them to the toilet or to the commode. And our staff are there and nearby and you know, supporting them, but not doing it, just to make sure that they feel like they have the skills that they can safely manage the patient's needs when they're discharged. So we could also put a...
It's an actual apartment. It's not a stage. I mean, the patient will actually live in this environment.
Yeah, it's a room in our hospital, but we've made it not like a hospital room.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different to go from a hospital room with all the buttons on the bed,
yes,
and the, you know, those sorts of things. And then to go lay in your flatbed at home and still be able to manage everything. And we try to simulate that when patients are with us. But this is a much more realistic. So there's a couch in there. There's a lamp that you're going to be able to turn on and off. There's a kitchen table that needs to be set. The furniture is home-like. It's not hospital-like. There's no over the hospital bed tray, you know?
Is there a kitchen set up in there?
We have a mock kitchen. It's not in that room because we have it already built in a separate part of our building. So we do have a mock kitchen on each of our floors where patients will practice meal prep and those sorts of things.
That's what I was wondering about, because, again, so important, and I get it, never having undergone anything like this, but I certainly understand what goes on. And, yeah, we're talking about relearning things. And you said it exactly right, Missy, to go from the hospital room with the buttons and the tray and everything there, and in many cases flat on your back, to... Well, here I am back in the kitchen. Now what do I do?
Correct.
Big step, and what great foresight to be able to recognize this. How long has this been in the works?
We've been talking about it probably for the past 6-8 months. It's something, you know, we've tried to piece it together here and there. Like, we have a recliner chair that we can have people sit in and practice. You know, we have these pieces kind of spread around our unit to help practice these things. And we wanted to put it all together because we want our patients to go home, really, in the end. We don't want to send them to another facility. We don't want them to go to a nursing home for 5 or 6 more weeks. We want them to feel confident and safe that you're going to be able to do this. And we're going to let you try so that you can see that. So that's, I think, the impetus for us, is really to give them the space to try it out before they leave us and know that we're there to support them and help.
And then there's a mock car.
There is.
This is such a key part of this, and when you hear about it, it's going to just make this light come on over your head. What an important part of rehabilitation this is, getting into a car to go home.
Correct. Yeah. And it's one of those things you don't really think about, but, you know, our patients have significant illness or significant injury. They've been through a change, and there's something as simple as getting into the car is not as easy as it used to be. So we were very lucky. One of the new tools that we've added to the rehab unit this year is this mock car. It's called the Transit. But it looks more like a piece of medical equipment. It doesn't look as much like a car as you would think, but it has all the pieces of what a car has. There are no wheels, but it does have driver's side door, a passenger side doors, bucket seats. There's seat belts, so practicing putting a seat belt on and off. The doors open and close and click close like a door does in the car. There's a gas and brake pedal for those who will be returning to driving, so we can practice that, make sure it's going to be safe. There's a steering wheel, and it even has a hydraulic lift. So if we can go from a Prius to a pickup truck, like, we can bring it up, you know, high, we can bring it down low. So we'll have the family just measure, like, what's the height of this, you know, the seat in your car, and we can simulate that exactly in our car.
How long does that generally take to get acclimated and reacclimated? Because as you point out, this used to take place in the parking lot on the way out. And, you know, you get wheeled outside and it's like, okay, thanks for being with us. And then, okay, now what do? I can't get in the damn car. So how long a procedure and how long does it take before someone is acclimated to getting in and out of their car after going through therapy?
Yeah, it again, you know, everything is so individual to the patient and their injury. But, you know, we have a patient who's got a spinal cord injury. They're not going to get in the car the way they used to. We're going to really have to kind of problem solve. We're going to have to get them there. And therapy happens in the car sometimes. You know, we used to do this, like you said, outside. It could be cold and rainy on the day we have to practice. So now we have this nice in the comfort of our rehab unit. But, you know, we sometimes have to kind of say, well, let's see how this goes. We're going to try this. Oh, that's not working. Let's try this instead. But for the most part, you know, one or two sessions, we usually get it down. We may have to bring the family and have them come try it. If they're going to be getting the patient in and out of the car, we have to show a family sometimes this is how you fold a wheelchair up and put it in the back, you know.
Yes.
You know, those sorts of things. So there's a lot to it.
That I can relate to because that was a learning curve. I will tell you that with family members. And how do you do that? And it must be a tremendous hurdle to overcome. And more, it would seem to me, it's more of an important step than maybe we think, because it's an accomplishment for someone. And in this situation, the small accomplishments, the small wins become so, so important along the way.
Absolutely. And it gives them so much freedom to be able to get in that car and go. You know, it's tough. You don't want people going home and staying in their house. We want them to go out and live their lives and get back to social, you know, events. And so this is one way that we can assure that that will happen.
Well, that is such a tremendous thing. And I'm so impressed to hear about it. And it is so basic. I mean, it really plays to the best of what you and your team do in physical therapy at Newport Hospital, at the Vanderbilt and at Newport Hospital and at Rhode Island Hospital and the Merriam Hospital. That having been said, technology is very much in the mix, and we'll talk about that in a moment here. There are some technological advances that are really going to be impressive, and we'll talk about that just ahead with Missy Fournier, Director Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation at Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Merriam Hospital and the Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. On we go. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We are talking rehab, physical rehabilitation, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech language pathology at the Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center, overseen by Missy Fournier, who's the Director of Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation for Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Merriam Hospital. And there are some advances, Missy. Some tech has come to the physical therapy department. Very, very exciting stuff. Tell us about some of this technology.
Yeah, Newport Hospital has made some significant investments in new rehab technology over the last several years, which is, you know, wonderful for us. I've been in therapy a long time, and, you know, we used to say all therapists need are our hands to make patients better. That's all we need. But there are some amazing tools that have come into rehab medicine, and things are changing rapidly. So we're on board. We're learning all the new things, and we're becoming specialists with the technology.
There's including an exoskeleton.
Yeah. I would say, when I say technology, I'm sort of talking about the technology of robotics and virtual reality. Those are the two big things on the horizon for us right now, on the forefront of what we're doing. The exoskeleton is our newest piece of equipment, and it's a significant investment, but it's amazing. It fits on the bottom of a body, of a person's body, and it kind of does the work that your trunk and legs would do to hold you up and to advance your legs to walk. We can give it you, you know, if it does as much work as your body needs it to do to help you do that, you know, standing and walking. It tricks the brain into believing that your paralyzed limb is moving a lot, even if it's not moving a lot, and it helps us build those neural pathways earlier, more quickly. We can get patients standing. It used to take 3 or 4 of us to stand a patient with very little motor function and actually advance their legs and walk. And we can do it with 1 or 2 people now. And this robot really kind of takes what the patient can't do, fills in that gap, and then we can take that assistance away as they get better.
Wow. Nothing short of miraculous. That must be so amazing for someone who is in that situation.
It is. Yeah, we can use it for stroke patients. We can use it for brain injury and spinal cord patients. We can use it for patients with MS. It's got a lot of application for what we do.
Just amazing. And that's really the beginning. There are some systems that have been put in, and you mentioned virtual reality. How does that play in?
Yeah, we have there's a few tools that we have. So one's called the Real, and it's sort of like, well, you know, the game the kids play where they put their goggles on their face.
Yes.
And you're in a different world. So we do this, but we can do it with our patients. And the games it has, you know, games in quotations, are geared toward functional therapeutic movement. So it could be as simple as you're looking out at a, you know, a field and there's a sun there and you can put your hands out. So somebody who's had a stroke and one arm's not working. We have sensors on their limbs and the sensors will know, like, this is the stroke arm and it's moving a little bit. So it's going to show them in their picture that their two hands are both moving, even though their left hand may be not up as high as the right. And you can grab that sun and you can make it set and you can pull it back up again. So something very simple, just like pulling the sun up and pushing the sun down. But this machine will trick the brain into thinking that arm is doing what I'm asking it to do, even though it may not be doing much. And it helps to connect those nerves again and improves their ability to move their arm over time. And it's, you know, they're fun things. Like you can feed the birds, you know, with your paralyzed arm, or you can plant plants on the screen. So they're doing the motions and they're watching it happen on the screen, but their body may not be doing all that they're seeing, but their brain thinks that it is. So it's really amazing.
And when you do that often enough, does the body respond?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We used to, you know, in the old days, again, we used to use like a mirror and trick them into pretend to seeing that their hand is moving, even though it's not the hand that they think is moving. You know, there were little tricks we could do, but this is just makes it so much easier. And it helps them to improve faster. And it's fun for them. You know, it's not like, okay, lift this ball up three times and, you know, put this over there and pick it up and put it back down again. It's just a very new and innovative way for us to do what we do.
Amazing. So you mentioned feeding virtual birds and working in a virtual garden. You're going to actually make that real.
We are.
Tell me about
that.
Yes.
So that's our next project. You know, once we have this apartment up and running, we're going to start working on our mobility garden. And what we're, I call it a therapeutic garden, but we're looking to create sort of like almost like an obstacle course. So all those things that, again, when you go home, there are things that you don't think about. So, you know, I used to, as a physical therapist, we go to do home visits with people. So we're getting ready to get them home. We're not sure how things are going to go. And they've been telling us all about their house and we've been practicing. And then we pull up to the house and there's no walkway to the door. It's a lawn. So, okay, we haven't practiced walking on grass, but now we have to walk from your parking space over your lawn to get to your front door. And so this mobility garden will give us the ability to practice like walking on mulch, walking on gravel, walking on grass, up and down hills or ramps, curbs, opening a gate, opening a mailbox and carrying your mail. All those things that people, again, have to do when they get home. But this will give us a place to do that in a safe environment on the hospital campus. And also I'm hoping, you know, we're going to have places to have them sit, relax, get some sun because they've been in the hospital sometimes for months before they come to us.
Yeah.
And then they can plant flowers. We can pick vegetables when they grow them, or they can prune or sweep, you know, all those functional things that they need to do outside.
Amazing. And that's to come later this year.
Yeah, we're hoping in the summertime we'll have that up and running.
Wonderful. Now, there is news about reaccreditation, which is always good to hear.
Reaccreditation, yes. Last year, so we just moved into this, 2024. But in 2023, we were CARF accredited or reaccredited. So we've actually been accredited since 1979 with CARF.
Wow.
CARF is the Commission Accreditation of Rehab Facilities. And every 3 years, we invite them to come to our program and survey us and just see how we're doing. They have a, you know, a standards manual of all of the, you know, the best ways you should do things with in rehabilitation. There's like a more than 1,800 standards that we have to comply with. And then they come in and give us a really thorough once over every 3 years and, you know, let us know, yes, you're reaccredited. So, yeah, we did that last year, or we'll be due again in two and a half years. I think they'll be back. And we currently hold our accreditation for our general inpatient rehabilitation program and also our stroke specialty program. And it really does, you know, by committing to doing this, it's making us ensuring that we're a quality, high quality, a very effective rehab program, high patient satisfaction, and it puts us at the top of the rehab industry. So it's very important to us that we keep doing this, even though it's a lot of work and it's tough to comply with everything, but we know it makes us better and we're happy to do it.
Well, it just sounds like there is just so much benefit here and so great to hear about. And you can see it. There are video and photo tours available on the Newport Hospital website. Should we look for Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center when we log on?
Yeah, if you go to the Newport Hospital website or the Lifespan website, you can just, you know, put in Vanderbilt Rehab and it'll get, you'll get there. There's an inpatient program and an outpatient program. But if you look at the inpatient program, you get a video tour of our unit. You get their video clips on all of our technology. So you can see the exo in action, the exoskeleton. You can see all of our other pieces of technology in action. You can see some stories of patients that we've taken care of. A lot of information about our program on that website.
Very, very exciting. And what an ambassador you are. This has been great. Missy Fournier, Director, Adult Inpatient Rehabilitation for Newport Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and the Miriam Hospital, and particularly at Newport Hospital's Vanderbilt Rehabilitation Center, where Missy oversees physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology. So great to spend time with you. Thanks very, very much. All the best to you and your team.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate the time.
You bet. And it's our Newport Hospital Hour of Health.